About half of agencies earn an F for incremental and agile development on their first Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act report cards. Agencies are trying to think about acquisition differently, but the new scorecards from Congress show they have a long way to go. Dave Zvenich is Director of Acquisition Management at the General Services Administration's 18F. GSA is one of four agencies that got an A in the Agile Development category. He tells Federal News Radio's Nicola Grisco how he's using more unconventional acquisition methods to buy innovative ideas and services quickly.
The micro purchase was an experiment. We said, is it possible for us to buy open source software for less than $3,500? That's the micro purchase threshold. You know, normally the government buys lots of really expensive code, but we said, could we buy some code? Is it possible to buy software at $3,500 or less? And so we used a reverse auction technique to ask vendors to essentially bid for the right to deliver that code. A number of vendors showed up, a number of vendors bid, and the winning bidder ultimately submitted code last night that met all the requirements. Sort of as a plot twist, the final bid was $1.
Can you explain a little bit more about what you're seeing from agencies as far as adopting agile development and really kicking it off from just the starting point?
Sure. I think we're starting to see a lot of agencies who are interested in agile and who are actually starting to implement agile practices in their day-to-day work. There's still a lot that we have to learn as a government, a lot that we're going to have to do to get better about it. I think of this as like, we're about to start walking, right? Once we start walking, then we're gonna start running, and then we're gonna go really fast. But you just have to get to that place where you say, okay, now I can put one foot in front of the other, and then it's off to the races.
What are some of those things that we need to get a little bit better at?
Good question. So the things that we need to get a little bit better about really relate to trying to understand what it is that we're trying to buy. So one of the things that's expressed in the tech FAR is the idea of a product vision. You have to have a really clear product vision of what it is that you want. And historically, the agencies and the government have been less than precise, let's say, about what they're trying to get at. And Agile embraces the idea of having a really clear product vision with a little bit less emphasis on sort of all of the laundry list of requirements, and instead focusing on who are my users, how is this product going to satisfy my users' needs, and defining that up front so that the vendors can start shipping on a regular basis the things that satisfy users' needs.
We mentioned the Fatara scorecard that came out yesterday, and you know, not the most positive results right out of the gate, but I would say that might be to be expected because it is the first scorecard. Obviously, that's not necessarily what everyone wants to hear. What is that next step? Where do we need to go from here based on those original results?
Right. So I think the right answer here is continuous improvement. Ultimately, I think everyone sort of knows that we're not perfect. We have a long way to go. I think what the American public expects and what I think government agencies want is to do a little bit better each day so that, you know, over the course of each day, you're doing a little bit better. Over the course of each sprint, you're doing a little bit better. And at the end of each product, you've got a better result. And I think that if we consistently try to improve, then ultimately the scores will improve. But more importantly, the results that we deliver for the American public will improve.
18F has been up and running for a little while now. What are some things that you've seen, you know, since the time that you guys started off to now, and maybe kind of where you're looking toward in the future?
Well, I think we've continued to get better. We started out in March of 2014. We started as a very small organization. We're growing. I think at this point we're something like 140 people. So we're going through the process of trying to be a better organization ourselves, figuring out how we can deliver consistently great services for our customers. From an acquisition space, I think we're starting to see a lot of agencies who are interested in doing this sort of quote-unquote the right way, but really embracing the U.S. Digital Services playbook, the tech FAR, experiences from other agencies that have been successful, and trying to get repeatable in that. So that's sort of what we're trying to do, is to have repeatable wins. And when something is a failure, sort of naming that and not doing that again.
I also spoke to Adam Tarsi. He's the chief of staff of the Combating Terrorism Technical Support Office at the Defense Department. He told me how DOD is also using non-traditional procurement methods to bring in more innovative ideas.
I would say it's trying to be more creative with our outreach, proposing our needs to a broader population of people. So the whole objective is to find non-traditional solvers, people that aren't normally in the defense R&D business space, but have interesting, innovative ideas. How do we attract them? How do we make it easy for them to do business with the government? And a FAR-based traditional contract is really challenging for them. It takes a bid and proposal budget to submit all the paperwork you need, whereas if they just have a good idea, can I, if it's appropriate, if I have a need in that area, can I just identify, illuminate that need, and reward them for the work they've already done? And then we'll worry about how to get to the next step after that. So this is almost idea acquisition rather than a FAR, a kind of a traditional acquisition process.
Do you find that those maybe startup companies, smaller companies, the companies that aren't on FedBizOps all the time, do you find that they are interested and willing to work with you or willing to partner with those larger companies that you mentioned?
Depends what their idea is. So if they're a startup company, what's their strategy to get to market? Is it a government market? That will influence what their approach is. But often it's an individual with a good idea. It's not a business at all. And if we can capitalize on that good idea and we can help mentor them as to maybe they want a consulting arrangement or maybe partnering with a systems integrator or somebody that is used to doing business with the defense, or maybe they're happy to get a $20,000 check for their good idea and then we've got to find some way to use that intellectual property that they let us use because we don't actually want to buy their IP. I mean, I don't want to own that. I can't do anything with it. But I want that good idea, and I want to be able to use it for our purposes. So that's kind of the approach we take on the individual basis. Sometimes they don't want to, right? Sometimes they want to do some commercial product with it, develop some commercial pathway, and that's fine. If I can just buy it on the commercial market, then that's even better. I don't need to stand up some kind of government infrastructure to support it.
One of the major things that you all talked about was this idea of saying government is interested in your ideas, especially looking to Silicon Valley, and then also there was, you know, talk about other parts of the country, other companies that government isn't looking at. Can you talk about what your office is doing to, you know, say, hey, we're open for business, we're interested in you?
Sometimes it takes help. So I work with organizations like Innocentive, who has a body of registered solvers that subscribe to their challenges. So they post it to their communities. In addition to that, they'll advertise to other communities. You heard InQtel speak a few times. I've been working with InQtel for years because they've got relationships that we don't have. So it's trying to find avenues to approach. FedBizOps works because the people that want to do business with the government know to go there. All those people that don't care to do business with the government have no place to go. We have to find ways to attract them, and that's a bit of a challenge. So advertising is not something that, you know, the U.S. government is typically very good at. So we go through partners in order to accomplish that.
Any other challenges that you would want to mention to, you know, what you encounter in your position? Any other challenges that you see your office encountering in the future?
The Defense Department is organized by mission, and our mission is to rapidly prototype novel solutions for customers. And that typically means 1 to 100 of something, but not an outfitting of an element. The valley of death that people speak about is the transition from R&D prototype to full-up acquisition purchase. I think that's a big challenge for every U.S. government, but especially the Defense Department. How do we transition something that we've already determined is best of breed, is innovative, into an acquisition system that realizes it has to compete that again? That adds timeline, and it puts so much administrative overhead that the innovative small company is challenged to make its way all the way through the process. And so if Mr. Kendall is worried about aggregation in a particular industry where larger companies are aggregating, buying up each other, merging, and buying up smaller companies, a way to do that might be to reduce the burden of competition or streamline it in some way. And I'm sure he's heard this a million times, but try to find a way where the small company that's already won the R&D aspect of it has a bit of a leg up in competing for the acquisition pool.
In Washington, Nicola Grisco, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.